myself a transgressor. What happened was that Simon Peter, preaching the gospel, but then was and ate with the Jews, ate with the Gentiles, fellowship with the Gentiles, but some Judaizers, some people came up from Jerusalem, and he separated himself from the Gentiles. So he took, he went back under the law. He was afraid of it. And Paul withstood him to his face. And he said, if I build again the thing which I says now is done away with in Christ.
Yeah.
And the law being fulfilled in Christ. If I build that again, is Christ the minister of sin? Because that's what we are when we're under the law. We're sinners. We're lost. We're under. So I'm not going to build those things again. And so we'd be ministers of sin if we bring people under the law. And that's why it says, knowing, in verse 60, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now here is an apostle who talks about the life which I now live in the flesh. The life which I now live. Now it wasn't the life he lived before, it wasn't the life he used to live. Look over in Acts chapter 9 with me just a moment. You remember when he talked about, you know, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew of Jews, persecutor of the church of God. But the life he now lived by the faith of Christ, it was different. It wasn't the life he used to live. Look here in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that he found, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And one other place it says that he made havoc of the church. So now it's a different life, the life which I now live. And we can all say that. There was a time when our life is not the life we have now. And he lived a life of self-righteousness and religious ambition. Back over here in Galatians, this is what he was. I mean, he was a self-righteous Pharisee. Hated the way of grace, hated the way of Christ, hated the way of salvation by the righteousness of another, because he had his own righteousness. And that's what he said here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He said, for ye have heard of my conversation or manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure, how could you measure it? I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation. I mean, I was way up there. Being more extremely zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Oh, my. So what is, he says, now that's a life which I now live in the flesh. It's a different life. It's not the life he used to live. So what is this life that he now lives? When he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, what is this life which he said I now live? And I believe it's the life that all believers live. The same identical life. We were all lost as he was. You know, if you saw him, you said, if anybody goes to heaven, that soul of Tarsus is going to go. Nobody lives better than him. Nobody more dedicated to him. Nobody more zealous than him. Nobody prays more than him. Nobody knows more scripture than him. Nobody attends the services more faithful than him. I thought if you had seen me, he said, all this stuff. Now he says, that last thing, kind of done, lost. And he says, the life which I now live, there is this life. I believe it's the same for all believers. First of all, it's a life justified without the deeds of the law. Look in the last part of verse 16. It says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 2:16, last part of the verse. is the life justified without the deeds of the law, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no fashion be justified. Now here's a man who one time says that according to the law I was blameless. As to the righteousness of the law I was blameless. Well, that don't mean anything in this sense that there is no righteousness of the law. There is no righteousness that the law can give. There is no righteousness that the law can produce. It's a self-righteousness. It's a deceived righteousness. It's a false righteousness. And that's what he says, that life, we now live a life justified before God without any part of the law, without any deeds of the law, without any works of the law. James said it like this. He said, if you offend one point of the law, you're guilty of all. I mean, you know, which part of the law can you keep and still be justified, and which part that you let off that you'll stay justified? It stands or falls together. If you tell a lie, you've broken the Ten Commandments, and you're under this curse. If you steal, if you curse in your mind, if you have an idol in your mind, have an evil thought in your mind, you're a lawbreaker. So how are you going to be justified? How are you going to go back and rebuild that law and repair that law? That's what he's saying here. That's why, look in Romans 3:19. Now you keep Galatians here. Let's go over to Romans chapter 3 just a moment. That's why Paul asked the Galatians, do you not hear the law? You that broke the law, desire to be under the law, don't you hear the law? There's Isaac was the son of promise. He's a son of free woman. He's free. Isaac was of a bondage. You want your children in the flesh, and you're in bondage. Christ come to set us free from that bondage. Look in Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things forever the law says, it says to them who are under the law. And this is why it says what it says. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty, judged before God Almighty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now watch this. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I didn't know sin. I didn't know what it was until the law said, thou shalt not covet. What do you think he was coveting? It wasn't money. He was coveting power and position and a hierarchy in the church to be on the Sanhedrin. That's what he was coveting. And he saw that he's putting his righteousness in the place of Christ, in the place of God, and he said, I didn't know what sin was until I was made to know what covetousness was. Oh, my beloved. And look over here in Galatians 3 with me. Just a moment. Back over here in Galatians. That's why Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I had a dream the other night. And some folks was talking about what they were doing, how good they was. And I said, you know, salvation's by grace. If it wasn't by grace, we ain't worth the spit that's in our mouths. The salvation ain't by grace. And that's the truth. Without salvation is not of grace, there won't be nobody saved. Ain't you grateful it's like that? Oh, my. Look here in Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians! Who hath bewitched you? Who hath enticed you? Who hath captured your mind that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently set forth crucified among you, that we preach Christ crucified to you. This order will I learn of you. I'm asking you a question. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? When you were put back under the law and went under the ceremonies and went under the rituals and kept the days and the holy days, the Sabbath days, the moon days, and what you ate and what where you went and all that. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or sit and hear the gospel? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that the Spirit come and give you faith to set Christ before you? Are you now going to be made perfect? Going to be made better by your flesh? When any son of God said, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Oh, the law can't forgive sin. All it can do is expose real sin, to the knowledge of sin, and to be justified in God's sight is to be free from guilt. And if we're free from guilt, under the law you're still guilty. Under the law you're still condemned. And oh, beloved, if you're justified in God's sight, is to be free from guilt. And if you're free from guilt, then you're free from punishment. Where there ain't no guilt, there ain't no way you can be punished. Guilt's gone. And I mean the guilt thrown in the sight of God. That's what it's called. You know, that's like you're in a courtroom. Not guilty. You walk out of there and you're a free man. That's what God says. Not guilty. And we walk in His presence free. And then not only is it a life justified without the deeds of the law, it's a life of faith by Christ. Look again at verse 16 here in Galatians 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but now watch this, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now, what does he mean here? He means that we are justified not by our faith in Christ, though that's true. But it means here that we're justified by the faithfulness of Christ, by what he accomplished, by what he did. He was the one faithful. And that's the only justification you and I have today. It is what he did, what he accomplished. And that's why Paul said, justified by the faith of Christ, justified by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he was the one and the only one who has been completely, perfectly, and entirely faithful to God. He was faithful to his Father. He was faithful to his God. He was faithful to his law. I mean, beloved, everything about God. All the love that a man could give God, Christ did. All the obedience a man could give God, Christ did. All the honor and glory that a man could give to God, Christ our Lord did. All the wonderful things you can think about God, Christ did. Oh, he magnified him, honored him, glorified him, blessed him, walked up right before him. Until one day the Father himself came down and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Amen. Him the Father loveth and giveth all things into his hand. And God gave him a charge before the world ever began. And gave him a people before the world ever began. And gave him grace before the world ever began. Gave him every spiritual gift to give to his people before the world ever began. Christ came into time and took the responsibility of all those people. Amen. And took the responsibility of fulfilling the eternal purpose of God. And beloved, and took everything that was against us. And everything that would honor God. And how he done it both at the same time, I can't tell you, but all I know is he did. How he can identify with us and identify with God at the same time. How he can be God and be one with us at the same time, I don't know how. How he can be able to be made to be sin and still be righteous, I don't know how. But that's what it means to be justified by the faith of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And you know how I'm justified today? By the faithfulness of Christ. How unfaithful I've been. But God looks at his faithfulness. Huh? Justified by faith that trusts. Justified by faith that knows the person of Christ. Not the things about him, but knows him personally. We know lots of things about our president. We know lots of things about a lot of people. But we may not know them personally. And a lot of people know the historical Christ. They know some things about him in the Bible. But those that are justified by the faith of Christ, they know Christ. They actually know him. And she says, he is mine. I am his. We know him. We see him. We trust him. We believe him. We see his glory. We see his power. And beloved, when you see his power, then you have no trouble trusting his work.
That's right.
If you know who it is, that done the work, you don't have a bit of problem trusting the work. Is that right? You know, you hire somebody to do some work for you. You know them real, real well. They know how good a work they do. You can leave the house and leave them alone, go off, and leave them there for weeks till the job's done. You know why? Because you know the person. Well, then, other than that, we know the person. So we know who works good. But all, beloved, the faith that God gives us, the faith that God gives us, it apprehends. It sees the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. It sees the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It sees the value of His word. Count our work to be done. Count our work to be useless. Count our work to be nothing. Count our death to be nothing. We deny ourselves in every respect before God.
Amen.
But it always, always looks to what He did. His faithfulness never looks to itself. Never looks to itself. That faith that God gives us. And all of the life justified by the faithfulness of Christ. Oh, bless His holy name. This is the only hope I've got. I'm like David. Oh, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and says, I confess my transgressions and my sins. And yet when the deep water rolls over me, it ain't going to destroy me. And deep water just means trials. And then he comes down to the end that says, rejoice ye righteous. Rejoice ye that trust in the Lord. There we are, started out with no sin. Well, there was no sin imputed. That means that there's a righteousness. So I rejoice. That's the many things so mysterious about our relationship. None of us will acknowledge anything about ourselves before God. But yet, around ourselves, we're exactly equal. Huh? Not just, so the only way God can view us and accept us is in His blessed Son. Huh? Then look what it says here in verse 19 of Galatians 2. It's a life lived unto God. This is the way every believer lives. He says, For I through the law am dead to the law. Now what's this? That I might live unto God. A believer's life, and Paul's life, was a life that was lived unto God. Now, how in the world can you live unto God when he didn't live that way before? He thought he lived unto God. He thought he knew God. He said, but I was deceived. I didn't know God. I didn't know Christ. He said, I'm dead to the law that I might live unto God. Well, now you keep Galatians 2 and look in Romans 7 with me. Just a moment. I'm going to try to say a few things about this bread of the law. You know, see, the law can't die. The law can't die. The law is just as powerful. God hasn't compromised it. God hasn't renamed it. God hasn't lowered it. It's exactly like it was when it came from His mouth. But in Romans chapter 7, it says this. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Now the law here just signifies a man trying to be justified by being good and doing good. That's all it means. By his own works, his own righteousness. Know you not, brethren, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now, as long as you and I live in the United States of America, we're under dominion of the laws of this country. As long as we live, we're under dominion of these laws. And when you go to another country, you live under their laws. As long as we live, we're under the dominion of the law. Now, he uses an illustration of marriage to show this. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she's free from the law of her husband. She's free from it. No longer under his dominion. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. Now, if she walks off and leaves her husband, and still marries her husband, takes up with another man, she's an adulteress. So if we don't love God, we don't love Christ, we don't believe in Christ, and we're under the law, we're adulteresses. That's what Jesus is telling us.
so that she is, that if her husband be dead, now watch this, if he dies, she is free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she's married to another man. Now look who we're going to be married to then. The rest, the law died. We died, not the law. We died. Now watch this. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. How? The law didn't die. We're married to another. So when the law came, and when we saw it, and all of this condemnation and guilt and the knowledge of sin, we died to any hope of salvation by it. We died to any hope of righteousness by it. We died. We died. The law didn't.
Amen.
Huh? Now watch this. How? By the body of Christ. By his suffering, by his obedience, by his living. Then what's this? That we should be married to another. Who is it that we're married to? Even to him, God Almighty, who raised from the dead, raised him from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Oh my, bless his name. The law can't die with his hand. And how in the world can we die to the law? By Christ. Through Christ, dying under his penalty, freeing us from his demands, freeing us from his curse. And I'm not going under the law, no shape, form, or fashion. Oh, no way in the world. The scripture says that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let me say something about law. You know, sin receives its strength from the law. Now let me explain that. You can find that in Galatians or 1 Corinthians 15, 55, 56, somewhere in there. Sin receives its strength from the law. Now what does that mean? That when you're under the law, all you can do is just rebel more and more and more and more. Huh? If you're going to be under the law, the stronger your sin becomes. You know it's like your children. You know there's a day that they start backgrounding you, talking back to you, rebelling against you. You know why? Because you're that voice of the I don't care how much you love them. I don't care how much you've done for them. They're going to rebel against you. And the more they rebel against you, the stronger they get in their rebellion. Until God breaks that rebellion. The law works wrath. It works wrath in you against God. And it works wrath from God against you. So how in the world are we going to be free from this strength of sin? This strength of rebellion? This strength of wanting to be free to do anything we want to? To be under no restraint? To think like we want? Go where we want? Do what we want? Cut like we want? Do everything we want to do without any restraint? Just throw the law. Get out of the law. Huh? And all that love and looking for Romans 6, let me show you this. Oh, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. You know, how many times have your children, and this, you know, and that's, you know, and the way I've illustrated so many times, if you want to find out, if you want to start a fight, you want to really lose your peace in your home and all that, just start laying down the law of your life. Or your wife lay down the law of your husband, you've got to fight on your hands. You know why? Because sin in you. You just the people who hate to be somebody puts their hand on the heart. We just hate the folks who puts their hands on his heart. And we certainly don't want God to put his hand on his heart. He knows I'm a good person. He knows I'm doing the best I can. He knows that I've got some good intentions. Oh, look here, Romans. This is why we're free from the law. Look what it says in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why won't sin have dominion over you? Because you're not under the law. You know, that's why preachers, you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Now, a lot of people believe that the law, the Ten Commandments, is a rule of life.
But if you're not, if you do, you're under the dominion of sin. And that's what he says in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under law, but under grace. God forbid. This is why preachers, for to keep people under law, pray that they will continue in sin. But once you've been made free from sin, how can you continue in it? Huh? When you become dead to it. And that's what the apostle's talking about. He says he is saved from a life of self. That's what this means. A life lived under God. It's a life free. You know how free he was. He kept that law all of his life to the judge and kill. And oh, when he found out he was fulfilled in Christ, he was so free. His conscience was free. His heart was free. He didn't have to go through all kind of rituals and rigmarole and genuflections. No, saved from self. Saved from a life that he once lived under a life wherewith Christ made us free from the law of sin. Now, beloved, we're alive under God. You know, there was a time we were, but now we are. We're alive under God. We live in his life. We commune with him. We fellowship with him. We talk with him. We trust him. And we hide in him. Here's our refuge. And then look what else he says here in Galatians 2. Oh, it's a life lived under God. And one way you can tell, and I've talked to lots of folks who like this law, you know, they said, how in the world do you get to keep people from lying and stealing? And I said, I don't. My preaching ain't going to keep you from being a liar or stealing or a thief. Is it? No. You know who's going to keep you from that? You become alive under God. That's what's going to keep you from it. I preach all the works I want to, but the more you know more works I preach, the meaning you go get. I've tried that. I've been down that road. That's all he's saying is, you know, I live now under God. And then it's the life crucified with Christ in verse 20. I love that. Now watch what he says. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I'm dead and I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. A life crucified with Christ. You know, crucifixion. Crucifixion is a painful, painful remedy. It's a painful, painful death. But it's necessary.
Yes, sir.
It's necessary. Crucifixion is death. It's a death, and it's a slow, painful, agonizing death. And our Lord Jesus Christ died a slow, painful, awful, awful death. And you know, when he begins to deal with us, he crucifies us with him. And yet, beloved, at the same time, before we were conscious of it, we died with him on that cross. When he was crucified, we were crucified with him. Now that's exactly what the Scripture tells us. And three died on Calvary. Here in Galatians, look over in chapter 6. Three people died that day when Christ was crucified. And here's all three of them. And that's what the gospel does. It comes and tells you what's been done. It don't give you something to do. It tells you what's already been done. Christ died. Christ finished the work. Sin was put away by him. We died with him. So, the gospel comes and gives us faith to believe that. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory or boast or rejoice in anything except the cross of Christ, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? By whom the world is crucified. It's crucified under me. When I look at the world, I see death. That's what they've done to Christ. They crucified Christ, and I was in that world that crucified Christ. It's an attitude. It's a spirit. It's a nature. It's not out there, the world as you and I know it. It's not ball games and television and going out for a meal. That's not what the world is. The attitude, the spirit, and the nature that's against God, against Christ. And he said, I'm crucified to that world. Huh? And the world, and I unto the world. So there's three people that died that day. Christ died on the cross. The believer died on the cross. And the world died on the cross. And we died to the world. Huh?
And if we be dead in Christ,
and this body of sin is destroyed with him, how was the body of sin destroyed with him? He took it all. He took all the body of sin, the body of all the sins of all of his elect, from Abel and Adam, from Abel, the first man that was slain, to the last believer on the face of the earth. He took that whole body of sin. That whole body of sin. And bore his own body on the tree. And when he said it's finished and gave up the goat, when he went into that tomb, he was like that scapegoat. He was like that goat who had his lips, gross lips, and confessed their sins over, and the blood was put to wash the sin away. And then when he went to that grave, it was like the fit man who took the scapegoat out into the wilderness with all the sins on it, and he took it out of sight where it wouldn't be seen anymore, and he come back without the goat. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, he shed his own blood to put away our sin in the sight of God, and then when he went in the tomb, he left them there. And I mean, we ain't got no sin, no place on top side of God's earth, in heaven, hell, or earth against us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God to let his Christ have died?
Amen.
Who is he that condemn us? Oh, bless his holy name. You know, we died to sin, we died to the law, we died to the world, and we died to our old man. Our old man. As far as God's concerned, we're dead. Dead to sin, dead to the law, dead to the world. And even our old man died when Christ died. Thank God. Now look again over here in Galatians 2:20. And then this life, you know, was not only a life crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. And what it means, beloved, also by this crucifixion, you know, dying daily, that means, beloved, that we refuse to look to ourselves, you know. We got to count ourselves dead every day. We got to look outside ourselves for our salvation every day. Every minute. The minute you start taking something good about yourself, you know, to justify before God, you got to crucify that. That's dead. I can't have that around me.
Amen.
Can't have that old man. And then it's the life indwelt by Christ. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet now the life, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Christ liveth in me. That's the life that I now live. A life indwelt by Christ. It's, I live, yet it's not really I, but it's Christ liveth in me. How else can you live a spiritual life? How else can you commune with God? He has become a new person. He talks about I, yet not I. Is he mixed up here? No, he's talking about two people. There's the I that's crucified with Christ. There's the I that was Saul of Tarsus. There's the I that was self-righteous Pharisee. Now here's yet not I.
Yes.
But another one, a new man, a crucified man, a dead man, a man free from the law. A new man. He has become new. How? Because Christ lives in him. It is not I. He has a new will. He has a new purpose. He has new power. He has new rule. And Lord now reigns. It's just Christ reigns in him. And that's why the apostle says, you know, he's the very one who wrote down, you know, this. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Huh? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Let me tell you something. You know, when we look in the water or a mirror, our face answers back. Our face answers back. And Christ in us, Christ living in us, living in our hearts, indwelled in us by faith. Christ dwells in you by faith, is what the apostle said. And as you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk ye in him. We receive him by faith, and we're going to walk in him by faith. And what it tells us, Christ in us, right here while you're listening to me preach, Christ in us is our faith, answers to faith in the water. We look down and see ourselves. We look in the mirror and see us. Christ in us answers to Christ as we present him in the Scripture. Your heart answers to Christ. That's how you know Christ is in you. When Christ is being preached, is your heart answer to Christ? Do you see Christ? And that's how you know that Christ is in you. If you don't, if your heart won't answer to what's being said about Christ, and the preciousness of Him, and the glory of Him, then evidently not living in you. But if He's living in you, your heart's going to answer that. Amen. That's true. Oh, that's His name. Is that right? Oh, beloved. That's why our Lord says, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And without me, you can do nothing. And let me tell you something about this new man here. This new man must live on new things.
Yes.
You know, you got to live on new things. You have to live on gospel. The gospel, that's new. The gospel's new. It's always new, ever new. I've heard it for years and years and years, and still yet I hear it, and it's just like I heard it the first time. I couldn't tell you the times I said. And Christ, we got to live on Christ. We got to have Christ presented to us, and His righteousness, and His justification, and His obedience, and His doings, and His dying, His substitutionary death, His sacrifice, His sin offering, His eternal God. We got to have Christ fed to us, because that's what we live on. We have to have the fellowship of the Word and the fellowship with one another. We got to have prayer, and these are the things the new man lives on. Huh? And then let me wind it up with this here in Galatians 2. A life indwelled by Christ. It's not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Well, look what he says. And it's a life continued by the faith of the Son of God. There in verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead. And yet I'm still living. Yet it's not I that's living. It's not the old man. It's not Saul of Tarsus. But it's Christ liveth in me. And the life I wish, which I now live in the flesh, live in this body, in this world. But watch this. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. A life continued by the faith of the Son of God. A life that began by looking to Christ, seeing Christ, believing on Christ, embracing Christ, can only continue the way it started.
Amen.
If it didn't start that way, it can't finish it. And if it starts with Christ and His faithfulness and His doings, then it'll continue the way it started. It'll continue by living on Him. Huh? That's why Paul says, you know, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. That's something new. Walking by faith in what? Walking by faith in another man's righteousness.
Amen.
Denying I've got any at all. Walking by faith in another man's righteousness. Living by another man's obedience. I don't want to live by you. I don't want to live by anything you've ever done, said, or thought. But I want to live by His obedience. Huh? I want to live by Him. Look at Him sitting on the throne at the right hand of the Majesty on high after He purged our sins. That's why the Apostle said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able. Able.